Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamos Tzadik Gimel. We are holding five lines at the top and we're in the middle of a discussion regarding the halacha of Adar Makne, Dovar Shaloi Bala Olam. Can a person grant, can he gift, can he apply a legal process to something which does not yet exist? Look, I'm committing to sell that product when I will acquire it. It's a davar shaloi bala olam. It's not yet here. It's not yet tangible. So we left off yesterday that according to Rabbi Akiva, it would seem that one cannot do that. We don't have the ability to sell, to give, to buy something unless it's actually here, as opposed to a davar shaloi haya ba'olam. Continues the Gemara. Upliga, this notion that according to Rabbi Akiva, you cannot be makne dovar shaloi bal oilam, is in disagreement, in dispute, of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who held otherwise, with respect to Rabbi Akiva's shita. Upliga, the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he held that yes, according to Rabbi Akiva, one can give away, one can purchase, one can buy, one can sell a dovar shaloi bal oilam. The Amar, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. We have a whole long list of Tanoim and Amoraim who subscribe to the view of Adam Makne, Dovar Shalai Bala'ilim. A person can apply a transaction even though the item is not yet here. Now, one may wonder, how? Exactly how can this work? You don't have the item. You don't have the object. How can you sell it? The answer is personal commitment. In business, they do this all the time. They sell, deal with futures or commodities, letter of intent. So there's that personal shibud, that personal commitment, which obligates you to keep your word, when in fact that item comes to be. So in fact, you have a whole long list of tanoim and amoraim who adopted this view. The Amar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, we have Rav Huna, who is a Talmud of Rav, who followed Rav's Shita, that you can do this, Rav Huna ke Rav. And who did Rav follow? And Rashi says, we're going successively up, back up the generations. So Talmud followed his Rebbe, who followed his Rebbe. Rav Huna was Kerav, V'Rav Kerabi Yanai, Rabbi Yanai Kerabi Chia, Rabbi Chia Kerabi, V'Rebbe Kerabi Meir, Rabbi Meir Kerab Lezer Ben Yaakov, Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov Ker, Rabbi Akiva. There you go. So all these, Tanoim and Amoraim, hold that, right, the Amar Adam Makne Dovar Shalai Bala Olam, as we're going to see soon. Rav Huna Mahi, where do we find the Rav Huna? Held this sheet. Ditmar, Hamoicher Peiros Dekalachavir. It's the middle of the winter. Reuven goes over to Shimon. I have a good deal for you. I'm going to sell you the fruit of my palm tree, the dates that have not yet grown. Does it work or not? Amar Rav Huna, yes, it works. Ashalei bo'ol ha'olam. Before they come about, meaning if it's still before they grew, Yochel lachzor bo, he has the ability to revert on the deal, to go back on the deal. Because at this point, it's only personal, it's only a commitment, a verbal commitment. But once they're here, that commitment takes hold. So that previous commitment takes hold, becomes tangible. You can't go back on your word. But if he doesn't go back on his word, meaning if he lets the item grow and it's here and he can no longer go back on his word, it's because that kinyan was chal. That kinyan gets applied to these dates. Clearly, you can make a deal on something which is not yet here. So that when it comes to be, that deal becomes actualized. For Rav Nachman Omar, he disagrees. You cannot sell something which is not yet here. Af mishabo lo'ilam yachal achzor, but even after they grew, you can still go back on it. But Amar Rav Nachman Moedina, I will agree in the following case. The Shamit V'Achl. Suppose the seller did not go back on the deal. And suddenly he sees the dates here, and the buyer comes and picks them off the tree, thinking that it's his. The shamet v'achli pulls them off and walks away with it. Loy mafkina minei. We don't take back the dates that the buyer ate, as long as the seller didn't inform him about the cancellation of the deal. The buyer has full rights to those dates. So Rav Huna holds, you can be makne dovar shelo b'olam. Rav, where do we find that Rav holds of this? Domar Rav Huna Rav, ha'im al chaveri, tells his friend, soda zushani lekeach, look, this field which I am about to purchase, it's not yet mine, I'm going to purchase it. Likish she'ekochen, when I actually purchase it, knuy lach mi'achshav, it's yours from this moment now. Such a retroactive deal, starting from when he had not yet purchased it. Kana, it works. Apparently you can commit to selling something which you will acquire, even though it's davar shaloi baloilam. Rabbi Yanai Rabbi Chia, we find that Rabbi Yanai followed Rabbi Chia, and in fact you can do this. Rabbi Yanai had a sharecropper, davar maisi leg. He would bring him kanto de peri, a basket of fruit. Kol ma'ali shabbate. Every Erev Shabbos, his sharecropper would deliver a basket of fruit to covered Shabbos. Ha'u yayma. This particular Friday, nogalei, he got delayed. V'lo yasa, he didn't come. He didn't come. And was getting close to Shabbos. We know that one is not meant to separate truma on Shabbos. So what did Rabbi Yanai do? Shokol. Asar mi peri de beisei. Alayu. He took some of his fruit that he had at home, and he took and he made it maaser alayu on the fruit which will be delivered later on. It's not yet his. It's not yet in his possession. How could he treat them as though they're his? How can he do the truma on behalf of those fruit which have not yet been delivered? Can he do that? Also, lekameid Rabbi Chia. So he came to his Rebbe Rabbi Chia. Amarlei, he confirmed. He says, yes, shaper avdus, you did well. The sanya. In fact, we have a pasuk to support this. By Maser Sheni, it says, leman til mad liyiras Hashem alekecha kol hayamim. The point of Maser Sheni is to generate yiras Hashem. Tesis and Barva Basra explains. That's one of the reasons why we go to the to Yerushalayim to consume our Maser Sheni. We go there, we're exposed to the Yirei Shemayim, to the Kehanim doing Avod in the Beis HaMidosh, and that facilitates Yirei Shemayim within the person. The Pasuk continues, Kol HaYamim, all the days. What is that meant to include? Says the Braisa, Elu Shabbosos V'Yom Tov. Be careful that the mitzvah of taking off the Maser should not interfere with Oynig Shabbos. Be sure to enjoy your Shabbos and Yom Tov. Ensure an ample supply of fruit for Shabbos and Yom Tov consumption. So the tevil concern should not interfere with Shabbos. What is the pasuk coming to allow us? What is the pasuk coming to enable us to do? L'may hilchasa. Ilim ala asuri umeichel. The pasuk telling you, look, it's Shabbos, it's Yom Tov. Don't worry about the fact that it's still tevil. Make sure, even on Shabbos for Yom Tov, separate the truma, the maser, and have it for Oynig Shabbos. Is that the pasuk coming to tell us? Yisra kro lemishri tiltud rabbanon. Does the pasuk have to come and tell you that you can separate maser, which is at most only an isra rabbanon, as the Gemara in Beitza says, you're not meant to separate maser mid rabbanon because it looks like you're fixing it. It's not isra d'oraisa. So why would the Torah address an isra rabbanon? Ella rather, the pasuk says that you meant to ensure your fulfillment of Oynig Shabbos, even when there is a tevil concern. Ella lav ki hagavna. It is coming to address this type of situation, as Rashi says on the top line. Ella lav ki hagavna de mutar la aser al mashaloi bala oilam va'osad lavoi l'tzaruch Oynig Shabbos. The Torah is allowing you to separate maser even from something, even on something which is not yet here, such as this basket of fruit, which has not yet arrived. Why? Letzorich oinig Shabbos. So clearly, Rabbi Chia subscribes to the shita that a person can apply a transaction, can apply halacha, a kinyan, maser, etc., to something which is not yet here. Asks Tosfos, I don't understand. The Torah is telling you, you can do it on Erev Shabbos, even though it's not yet here, because it's Einik Shabbos that's so important. Well, mid-Daraisa, there's nothing wrong with separating Maser on Shabbos itself, as we just explained. Why would the Torah even address this type of concern? If it's not really a concern in our Torah, just wait until Shabbos and do it then. So Tosfos says that actually, the Pasuk is allowing you to take off Maser Shaloi Min HaMukav. That's the point. Min HaMukav means in, you know, some close proximity. Typically, you separate the Maser from the actual basket itself. But let's say we have a situation where Oineg Shabbos would require doing the Maser from a distance. He says, let's say you have fruit in another town where you're going to spend your Suda Shabbos, and there's just enough for the Suda. Not enough to allow separating the Maser and still be left with enough. It's going to run short. The Torah is telling you, in that case, in order to enable proper Oinik Shabbos, to enjoy your Shabbos properly, you can actually do the Maser at a distance. Take the fruit here and apply it as Maser for the fruit there, even though it's Shaloi Ben Amukav, it's not in close proximity, which is less than ideal, in order to enable Oinik Shabbos. So here as well, in our story with the Aris, with the Rabbi Yanai, the fruit, the Tevel, is still at a distance, but still, you can go ahead and do the Maser even in this type of situation to enable Oinik Shabbos. But bottom line is, clearly, Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Chia, his Rabbi, had no concern with doing something which is Shalei Bala Olam, such as separating Maser and fruit which is not yet in his possession. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Chia supported what he did. He had a pasuk, a drasha. Rabbi Yanai responds, Amar Lei, v'ha, but akroyun b'chelma. That very night, on Friday night, they recited to me in a dream, min hashamayim, I got this message, kanei rotzot, a crushed reed, which sounds like less than a positive message. My love, hachik amrili. Shall I not assume that they were sending me a negative message to negate what I did? So kanei rotzot was part of the following pasuk, which sends a negative message. Hine batacht lechal mishenes hakoni arotzes hazeh. Look, you've relied on this crushed reed. You didn't do properly. Like, no, says Reb Chia. Hachik amrilach. Actually, it was a positive message, a message of approval. Koni arotzes lo yishbar upishtakei lo yichaben. And the pasuk concludes with the words leemes yoytzi mishpat, as Rashi says. Leemes yoytzi mishpat. What you did was correct and proper. Rebbe as well holds that you can be makna dovar shloi baloilam. This anya lisaskir eved aladoina. The pasuk says, "Don't return a slave to his master." What are we speaking about? Rebbe Omer, "Beloikeach eved amanas l'shachreroi hakosam medaber." The pasuk is addressing a case where a fellow, you know, has pity on the slave that belongs to his friend, and he says, I'm going to purchase you on condition that I will release you. I'm buying you to release you. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the Kosavle, the purchaser, tells the slave, he draws up a document and writes as follows. Liki she'ekechecha, when I will purchase you, harei atzmecha konelecha mi'achshav. You will have acquired possession of yourself from this moment onward. So basically, he's committing to him before he can actually release him. In the current moment, he belongs to the other fellow. but I'm committing to release you as soon as I purchase you, and that release will be effective retroactively. I'm fulfilling my commitment that I've issued to you right now. Right now, I cannot yet release you. It's a davar shaloi bala olam. It's not yet here. It's not yet tangible. It's not within my ability to do anything in this current moment. Still, it works. Apparently, personal commitment, even for something down the road, is a commitment. What about Rabbi Meir? Where do we see that he holds of this concept? It's none. Haimele Isha. A person approaches an Isha and he says, Hareyat Mekudeshesli. Here's a ring. You are Mekudesh to me, but not right now. Right now I can't. But La'achar She'ez Gair. The condition will be Chal, will be activated after I convert. I become a Ger. La'achar She'ez Gairi. After you become a Ger. La'achar She'ez Ashtachar. After I become a free person. I get freed from my slavery. La'achar she'tishtachri. After you become freed, or la'achar she'yamas ba'aleich. The kedushin should be chal after your husband, to whom you're currently married. Your husband passes away. La'achar she'tomas achoisach. After your sister, to whom I'm married, passes away. La'achar she'yachlis yivameich. You're yivam awaiting chalitza. Okay, the kedushin will kick in after your yavam does chalitza. In all these cases, Eino Mekodesh, it doesn't work because currently she's not a candidate. Rabbi Meir Omer Mekodesh, it works on account of the future. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, where does he say the same halacha? The Sanya, Yosir Akein, Omer Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. The Brisa there discusses the halacha that Truma and Maser could only be done when the produce is detached, was taken off the ground. But Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says like this, Afilu im Amar, Peiros Aruga Zu Telushim. He goes and he says, you know, the fruit of this row, which has already been picked, Yehu Truma, they should be Truma al Peiros Aruga Zu Mechubarim. It should constitute Truma on the fruit of the Aruga, which is still attached to the ground. Or Peiros Aruga Mechubarim, the fruit of this row should be considered truma al peiros zutlushin, on the other fruit, which has already been picked. When is the truma going to be activated? Likish yaviu shlish. As soon as the fruit achieves a third of its growth. Speaking specifically about, let's say, grain, where the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that a third of its growth is considered the trigger point, which activates the potential truma and maser chiv. So he's dealing with something which is still attached to the ground, which cannot accommodate truma. It cannot be considered truma when it's attached, but he's saying, look, I want it to be truma when, as soon as it achieves a third of its growth, and be tolshu, it's going to be picked off the ground. Right? So it's going to happen later, once it's picked. That's really down the line, down the road in the future. It works. V'yiviyu shlish, v'nitlishu. So it grew a third, and it was picked. Dvar of Kayam, and his words take hold. Why? Dvar shalei bel oilam works. Finally, we have Rabbi Akiva. It's not. Koyinam shani oishu leficha. So his angry wife makes a neder. Whatever I earn, whatever I produce, will be asur leficha. You can't consume it. Ein etzarech lahafer. Doesn't have to worry about it. He doesn't have to override her neder because she's committed. She's obligated to produce for him. Rabbi Kiva Amir Yafer, no. Let us advise her to advise him to do Afaras Nadarim. You know why? Because she might do a bit extra, more than she needs to, and that is within her ability to make it usher on him. Shema Tadif Olav Yosem and Aroiloi. She might add more than required, and therefore he should do Afaras Nadarim. The question is, how can she take something which doesn't yet exist and make it usher? Adam Makne Dovar Shele Baloilam. So we have a whole long list of Tanoim and Amoraim who in fact adopted this view that one can make Isser, Kinyan, Meiser, Kiddushin, even for something which is not yet here. Apparently that personal Chiyuv, that personal commitment, suffices to activate this process which will be implemented and actualized when the possibility arrives. Okay, back to the sugya of our perek. a wife whose husband disappeared, and the Eidah Echad arrives with testimony. This fellow passed away. She goes and uses that testimony to remarry, based on the notion that Isha Daiko Minsuba Chazal assumed that an Isha will be diligent in her investigation and her looking into the facts and confirm them as true before she goes and remarries. Coupled with the fact that this information can be easily verified. It's Milsa Davidi Ligluy, as the Gemara will refer to it. It's something which is going to be known in the future. Why would anybody lie? Why would Eid Echad put his reputation on the line with something that can be verified down the line? Bo minei Rav Sheshes. Tell me the master of Sheshes as follows. Eid Echad biyivama mau. What if the aide comes and says, husband dies, you can go get Yivam from Yivam. Mau. What happens now? Do we believe him or not? What does this depend on? It depends on the reason why we believe the Eid Echad to begin with. Why did we believe one aid? Mishum de Milsa David Ligluye? Is it primarily because the facts that he is presenting to us, the fact that he is reporting is something which is Milsa David Ligluye, it's something which will be verified down the line. We're going to eventually know what happened. At least there's a strong possibility that information will become public. And therefore, like Meshaker, a person would not lie, would not mislead us. Something that you could never figure out, fine, but something which is going to be on public record, why would he lie? V'chanami l'meshakir as well, in a Yivam context, the same rationale would apply. Why would he lie? Why would he lie? When he comes and says, Reuven dies, Edilma, or perhaps, we need another element to be present as well. Tamad Eid Echad, why did we believe one Eid Mishum de'ihi daiko mitzvah? Because the Isha will do good work, serious investigation before she remarries. That's in the typical circumstance. Before she marries Shimon, another fellow, she'll make sure the facts are confirmed. But in the case of Yibam, perhaps kibum de zimn in de rachmalei. Perhaps it can happen that she will have an affection to the Yavam, who she knows very well. Perhaps that attraction to the Yavam might cloud her judgment, loy daiko mitzvah, which will result in a less than perfect investigation. She will not be medayik as much as she would ordinarily do, because she's motivated by her desire to marry the Yavam. So maybe in this case, we can't rely on the edus of the Eid Echad. Amar Rav Sheshes, he responded to Tanisua with a mission that we learned a few days ago, where we see that even in this case, the Eid Echad is believed. They tell the Isha, look, your son passed away, and then your husband, in which case he died without children, and you need Yibam. Vinis Yabam, and she went to the Yabam for Yibam. And then they came and they told her the other way around. Chilav Hadvarim, actually, the story happened in the reverse. First, husband died, and then, only then did son die, in which case there is no Yibam. Teitzei, she must leave the Yavam, Vavlad Rishon. The child born before this news arrived, after the news arrived, is a mamzer. End quote. That's the mission. Hey, chidami, what exactly are we speaking about? What happened? Ile metrei yotrei, it was two against two. So a pair of two Edom arrived now and contradicted the account presented by the first pair of Edom. No, it's not like you're saying. He didn't die. And that's why she's in trouble. Why would that pose a concern for the Isha? My Chazas, why would you prefer, why would you suggest that we rely on the second pair more than the first pair? It's two against two, it's a stalemate. My Chazas, the Samchasahani, why do you prefer relying on the second pair and getting her into trouble? Smoy Chayhani, rely on the first pair. It's two and two. And if she's sure and the eight is sure, right, so let her stay married. V'oid, another kash. You say the child is a mamzer? It's a definitive verdict on the child, he's a mamzer, because he's a product of a forbidden union? How do you know? At most, it's a suffix mamzer, it's just a suffix mamzer. V'chitem u'leidok, maybe you're right, it's a suffix mamzer. The mission is not being particular and exacting in its language. Maybe it's only a suffix mamzer because it's two and two. You can't say that. We find that the Mishnah is being very specific in the way words its halacha is. But the Tani is safe. Look at the next halacha. We have a different case there, and we say harishin mamzer v'acharin mamzer. Only the first child is a mamzer. Later on, not. You see, the Mishnah is being very specific and careful in the way it words the halacha. So in the ratio, when it says that the child is a mamzer, we mean for real, a real mamzer. Why? It's two against two. At most, it's a suffix mamzer. So apparently, we're not speaking two and two, alalav. Shmamino, it's clear that we're speaking with chad. Initially, it was 1/8 who enabled the yibum. And that's why she's in trouble. Because when the new pair comes along and contradicts the eight echad, it's 2 and 1, and they win. Now, v'tama, the osu beitrei akreshua, and the concern is only generated by the two eidim that come and contradict. Ha'alav hachi mehemen, but otherwise, if it's only 1 8 and no contradictory, no makhishim, of course he stands. His eidus is accepted. Clearly, says Rav Sheshes, we trust in Eid Echad. Because it's Musa David Lagluy, it's something which will be exposed down the road. Why would he lie? And even if it pertains to Mitzvah Sibu. Yikud Damri, there's another version of his response. Don't even bother asking. It goes without saying that the Eid Echad is Ne'eman to send her off to Yibum. Dafilu Ihi Nami Mehemne, even the Isha herself is trusted when she speaks about her own chi of yibum. This non, we have a mishnah. Isha she'amar meiz bali tinase. An isha comes and says, "My husband died." She can go and remarry. Meiz bali tis yavim. Husband died and he left no children. She goes li yibum. So of course we believe her. We believe the eid echad as well. Kiti boydach. The question is, the mishri yivam la alma. The other way around. Suppose the Eid Echad comes and says that she doesn't need Yibam. She can go marry out. He says, yeah. You know, the Yavam died. He comes and says, your husband died. Then your child died. And whatever it is, there's no Yibam here. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to generate an exemption from Yibam. Do we trust him or not? My time with Eid Echad. Let's analyze the reason why we believe in Echad to begin with. Is it because something that can be exposed down the road is not something that a person would misrepresent? Here as well, why would he mislead us? Or perhaps, the reason why we believe in Echad to begin with is because of a combination of factors. Number one, there's an Edus. And number two, Mishum De'ihi Daika Minsiba. She will be meticulous in her investigation before she remarries. But in this case, perhaps she won't really do diligent work. But you know why? The misnahu, perhaps she has a dislike towards this Yavam, whom she knows for many years. Oh, the good old brother-in-law. The misnahu, the sanile. She doesn't want to get near him. So perhaps here she's motivated by that dislike. And she won't necessarily look into the facts. She'll just accept it as a fact and be happy to disengage from the Yavam. And apparently, the Mefarshim point out, apparently, as Tosfos points this out, apparently this notion of misya desanile, this dislike towards the Yavam, is something more common than the svara we had earlier of the Merachmale, her attraction to the Yavam. So this is a more more prevalent situation, a more common concern. So what's the halacha here? Do we trust him or not? Amul Rav Sheshes, so once again Rav Sheshes brings right from that very same Mishnah where we see that even in this type of context we trust the Eid Echad. Tani Sua, the Mishnah, Amru lo meis balach v'achakach meis b'neich. They come and tell her, husband died, and then son, so there's no Yibam, right? Because he died with his son. Venissa, and she married a stranger. She thought she was pater from Yibam, and then it turns out it was mistaken. V'achach amrulah, and then they come and tell her, chiluf hoyo advar, actually the facts must be reversed. son died, and then husband, in which case, at the point of his departure, he left behind no children, there is Yibum. Teitzei v'avlad mamzer. Teitzei v'avlad rishon v'achron mamzer. She has to leave the husband, and it's a mamzer. Hey, chidomi, what are we speaking about? So it's a similar back and forth to the sugi before. Same idea. Eile metreya trei is a two against two. My chazis. Why would you rely on the second pair more than the first pair? Smeichahani, rely on the first pair. Why is she in trouble? It's two against two. Void, in addition, mamzer. We consider the child a mamzer? Well, it's two and two. It's a stalemate. Tie game. Suffolk mamzer, it's really only a suffolk. Perhaps the mission is not being exacting in its words. It's really only a suffolk. Can't say that. Hamid Gatani Sefer. The Sefer is very specific in the way it presents its halacha, harishan mamzer. In the other case, we have a difference between the first and the second. Shmamino dafkik toni, it's clear from the Mishnah that the wording is being chosen with exactness. No, so why is a child a mamzer if it's two against two? Apparently, it's not. It's not two against two. Elalav chad. Apparently, the initial heter came about through one aid who allowed her to go marry out, to ignore the yavam. And apparently, he's believed because v'tama d'osor beitrei achashua. It's only because two Edom came along and contradicted that. Otherwise, if the first Ed would be just alone, Mehemani, he's going to be trusted. Even if he is generating and producing a heter to allow the Yavama to marry out and disengage from the Yavam. So clearly, even in this context, we believe the Ed Echad because ultimately it's a Milsa Davida Legluy. So it's like, well, no, not necessarily. Loilam Trey. Maybe we're speaking about two against two. Initially, there were two Edom, not one. And then another pair came along, contradicted them. But why would you be concerned with the second pair? It's two and two. Could the Omar Rab Achabar Menyumi, as he said elsewhere, Be'edi Azoma, Hachinami Be'edi Azoma, elsewhere Rab Acha, applies the concept of Edi Azoma. Hachinami, here as well, we can apply that context, that concept. Meaning, you're right, typically, when it's two against two, it's a head-on collision, we don't necessarily believe one over the other. It's a stalemate. Why would you trust the second pair more than the first pair? But there's one exception to this rule. It's called Hazama. Says Rashi on top line, Be'edi Hazama. It wasn't just that the second pair contradicted the first pair. They undid the essence of their Edis. You're not Edim. Says Rashi, Shachroinim hezimus rishon, v'amru by saying imanu ha'yisim. Look, how can you testify about this incident that took place in this and this location at this and this time? Guess what? We are now testifying that you're liars, that you are with us in a different location at that very same moment. That's called edim zoymimin. And in this case, the Torah believes them. The Rachmana heim ninu. There's a pasuk that Gemara explains that we're speaking about this type of case. Imano yisem. They're not coming to contradict the facts. He killed him. No, he didn't kill him. He died. No, he didn't. No, they speak to the core essence of their edus. Look, you are presenting yourself as credible witnesses. You were there. You were present at that location, at that time, to observe this incident. Look, we're not going to discuss the facts with you as per the incident itself, but you yourselves were not even there. You're not even Edom. You're not even worthy of being considered witnesses with respect to that incident because you weren't even there. You're with us in a different location at that time. In this specific case, the Torah grants credibility to the second Edom, and they can overpower the first Edom. That's the case of the Mishnah. Two Edom came and said, he died. Because we were there at that place, at that time. The next pair comes and says, Imanu Yisra, you're with us at that very same moment in a different location. In this case, the second pair prevail and the child is a mamzer. So at this point, we have no raya. If one Ed is going to be believed, to be Poiter and Isha from Yibam. Bottom line is, we learned about the concept of Dover Shaloi Bala Oilam. We have a whole long list of Tanoim and Amorim, a whole that you can commit to something which will come down the road. An Eid Echad. you can be Naaman. To allow an Isha to remarry. What about to enable Yibum? Yes, you can. What about to be Poita from Yibum? We'll see tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. All the best to you and Hatzlach Rabbah.